Many people wrestle with faith. How to have it? Where does it come from? How can I develop it? What is it anyhow? Or what is the difference between extreme faith and regular faith? God develops faith in everybody in a different way. Every person has an opportunity to trust God in one way or the other through a dark time, a difficult time, a time when you don't know what's going to happen, but you have to trust Him anyhow. The best example of extreme faith for me is when Jesus was hanging on the cross. He trusted His Father even though He did not see through the grave. And the Bible tells us that God's final generation will also have extreme faith. They will have the faith of Jesus. And that is our example. I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Trust God anyway." That expresses really what it is. My children, my work, my family life, my health, my retirement, all of those things, I can trust in His hands. But we have to learn through experience to trust Him anyhow. Faith is like a small plant. It needs to be watered. It's a relationship. God develops a relationship with us and teaches us that He will always come through for us. Faithfulness in everything He does. Those who have faith really have gotten it through an experience with God. God doesn't expect us to have blind faith. He expects us to have faith based on an experience, based on solid evidence of what He has done in the past. And each of us can choose today to believe what He says, to trust Him, even if we can't see the outcome. And when we see Him come through for us, just like Israel of old, we will know that we serve an all-powerful God and that He will always be faithful and come through for us. I've been asked by many people, what is the difference between presumption and faith? A lot of people wonder and ask themselves, what is the difference? What if I step too far? Am I going too far? Am I being presumptuous? Presumption is always tied to sin. In some form or another, presumption dishonors God, either through disobedience, doing our own will, and making God responsible, doing what we want to, and asking Him to cover for us. While faith always honors God. In fact, it is impossible to please Him without faith. So therefore, the two are related, but one is a sin, and one is actually honoring God. Presumption, I would say, is when you try to do your own will without God's direction, without God's clear leading, and asking God to come through for you just to cover for yourself. While faith is a direct obedience. The Bible is filled with examples of stories of faith. Extreme faith. Stories of raising the dead, feeding the hungry with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, curing poisonous herbs so that they can be eaten, raising the axe head out of the water, cities coming down. Extreme faith. It is an example of what God can do. And what is the difference? Obedience. For example, when God asks you to do something to take care of the widows, the poor and the orphans, and you follow through and you place yourself at risk in order to carry that out, going to visit the sick, going to visit those in prison, bring certain risks. We have to give more than we're capable sometimes, more than we're comfortable giving. And yet, that kind of risk is faith. Anytime one acts in faith, it is accompanied by God's peace and joy. Faith always brings a closeness to Christ. It brings a knowledge that God is living in us and using us to be a blessing to others. Presumption can never give you that. And that comes through obedience. It doesn't come through risking just for the risk's sake. It comes through obeying what God says, God's clear directions in His Word. A university president recently asked me, "David, wouldn't it be presumption to launch out so far into the deep financially that it would be impossible?" I answered, "Not going forward by faith is presumption. Expecting God to bless us when we are being disobedient." Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," and He meant exactly that. In my experience, whenever you go out in faith to accomplish a direct order from God, you can expect God's peace and joy, and you can expect God to come through for you. Not doing it, on the other hand, and expecting God's blessing, calling ourselves God's people, not being obedient, and yet expecting God to bless us, I call that presumption. I think that when God's people fail to act by faith, they dishonor Him. When they fail to carry out the mission, they are presumptuous because they're expecting God's blessing, even while being disobedient. I would encourage anyone who wants to experience faith to just be obedient, read what God says, and do it, regardless of the risk. After 15 years of denominational service, we decided to do an experiment with God. My wife and I and five children wanted to experience God firsthand. And so we placed ourselves in a position where we could learn. It's like you're going to become a doctor, you go to medical school. We wanted to learn about God and His ability to provide, so we placed ourselves in a position where we had no human support. My family and I moved to the country of Guyana for 1 year to do volunteer work. Five children, two adults, asking God to provide for our needs as we took care of the needs of others. And we found that God provided for our needs. He was faithful to us. The Indians brought us food every day and left it outside of our door. So we learned our lesson that God could provide for us. But then when we gave all we had to be able to buy medicines for them, we gave up everything we had and said, "Lord, we have no more savings left." A lady came and left us much more money than we had spent. And we learned a lesson. The more you give, the more you receive. And our faith grew through that experience. But then we learned our third lesson. When it came time to buy a small mission aircraft, to be able to reach out to more villages farther than we could walk to, I felt impressed to come to the United States and look for an airplane. I didn't have any money. I looked for an airplane. I called. I negotiated. I found the airplane I wanted. And the very day that I went to look at it, a lady handed me a check sufficient to pay for the whole entire aircraft. Three lessons. One is, God can provide for our needs. Number two, if we give everything, we receive everything. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Thirdly, it is not necessary to have in order to be able to advance. God told Moses, "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." That was in the face of a Red Sea. But as we move forward, God will provide for our needs. After years of serving in the jungles, providing the care for people, Indians, taking care of their medical needs, transporting them, schools in indigenous areas, they had no school there, evangelism, medical care, pastoral work, we decided that God could be trusted. We learned that He could be trusted. He's always been trustworthy, but we had to learn that. One day somebody came and asked us, "David, why are you working only with the Indians? Why aren't you working for the people in the cities?" Well, I said, "I live among the Indians. I don't live in the cities." But they have to be reached too. How do you reach the people in the cities? Well, one day I made a trip to a very large city and I looked up at those skyscrapers and I realized you can't even get into those buildings. You have to have a key to get in to the elevator, a key to get up, get off the elevator in some places, a key to get into the apartment, and some places you can't even get into the compound. How do you reach the people in the massive cities of the world? And I realized the answer was media. If you're going to reach everybody in the world, especially in the large cities, you have to use the technology that God has invented specifically for that purpose. It is my conviction that technology such as radio and television belong to God and were invented specifically for the purpose so God's people could finish the work. With that conviction in my heart, I went to visit the cities and I found a television network and I negotiated and I signed a contract. I was scared to death. "Lord, you're asking me to do something 10 times bigger than I have ever done before." Buying an airplane was scary enough, but buying a television network? But God brought success to that. And the first television network was the Advenir Spanish Television Network in Bolivia, a national television network that went on satellite soon after. And then into all the world, all the Hispanic world. It is currently in the homes of more than 100 million people and making a tremendous impact in a way that entire nations think and act. Many people have heard about the television network in Bolivia. $1.5 million. What a risk. Many of my friends stood quite a distance from me when they realized that I was such a risk taker. Many of my friends refused to be part of it. I received much criticism, but I understand. That's hard to accept. $1.5 million. But every time we look back, we could see God's fingerprint on it. And therefore, we had to believe. We insisted on believing that God was able to do that. And 24 hours before the final payment came due, one phone call, $1.5 million. God performed the biggest miracle I believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church has seen in modern history. He saved and paid for an entire television network with one phone call. So what do we do from there? Is that what God can do? That's it? $1.5 million? I refuse to believe that our God can be limited by that. In fact, there are too many promises. Say, "Ask and it shall be given unto you." Or, "If you live in me and my words live in you," says John 15, "you can ask anything in my name and it will be given to you, that my Father may be honored." How much is that anything? How far can I go? How far can a Christian depend on God or go out into all the world? How big a risk can you take? Well, after learning what God could do with 1.5 million, I realized there is no limit. God is able to do anything. What it really depends on is our desire. God told Joshua, anywhere you put the sole of your foot, that have I already given to you. Look at the tenses. Wherever you shall put the sole of your foot, that have I already given unto you. Wow, that was encouraging to me. In other words, Lord, wherever I want to put the sole of my foot, you've already given me that? That's right. I have ordered you to go into all the world. My people are to accomplish the task. The question is, what do you want? How much do you want to conquer? What has God placed on your mind and soul and vision? I started praying for Brazil. When one thinks of North America, you think of the United States. When one says South America, you think of Brazil. Almost the entire continent, Brazil. Massive country, a beautiful country, a developing power in the world. Lord, give me Brazil. The denomination had no television stations in Brazil at all. They have a beautiful satellite network, but no way to get the signal to the public. So I started praying for Brazil. Then is when the miracle happened. 300 evangelical pastors signed a petition. They sent one of their pastors to Venezuela, where we were working, doing a Mark Finley, a live satellite event out of the Venezuelan Union. He tapped me on the shoulder and he said, would you come to Brazil with me? And he showed me the paper with 300 signatures on it, and he said, these pastors want your television station. Instead of just Spanish, they want it in Portuguese. Would you come to Brazil? Would you meet with them? Would you create a television network in Brazil? My wife and I didn't need more work, but we prayed about it with him, and I decided to go. I went to Brazil. I went to Belo Horizonte, the city, the number third city of Brazil, Belo Horizonte. Beautiful. It means beautiful horizon. I went to Beautiful Horizon, and I met with the mayor. I met with some of these pastors, and they said, please, would you buy the station? I said, how much? $1 million. I said, Lord, I certainly don't need another debt. I just finished paying for one, and you're going to get me in debt again? And God said, take it. You've been praying for it. It's yours. I got the message clearly enough. So I signed, and I wasn't happy. I wasn't joyful. I wasn't peaceful. Or should I say, I was at peace, but I wasn't joyful because it wasn't what I wanted to do. But as I was flying back, God spoke to me in my heart and in my soul, and He said, just like the little boy David went against Goliath, you've gone against this mighty country to capture it. You prayed for it, I've given it to you. You sign a document, you will get it. 2 weeks later, the payment was due, the down payment. One day before, the money came in. I don't know why God always sends that just 24 hours before. But the money came in, and they gave us a station, and we got on the air. We've been on the air for nearly a year now. Of that $1 million station, we've been able to pay $500,000, and another $200,000 is coming in a few days. And we've all suffered. We've all been through difficult times. But God's fingerprint, God's peace has been on everyone. Everybody knows it's God's station. The South American division recently sent a team of people to Belo Horizonte to do documentaries on all the people that have walked into the church. Entire families, even other pastors from other denominations that have come to the conviction that Jesus is coming back and He is to be honored through keeping all of His commandments. It doesn't stop with one station. It goes into a different stage now. After 1 year on the air, I received another phone call. This time it wasn't from the number third city, it was from the number one city, the third largest city in the world. 22 million people live in Sao Paulo. It's a massive city. I received a phone call saying, would you come meet with us? I'm an owner of a television network that covers a large part of Brazil. Would you come meet with me? I'm aware of your other station in Belo Horizonte, and I want to talk to you. So I went to talk to him. We met in this beautiful building, gorgeous building, up on the third floor. He had a boardroom, views, windows, in one of the most prestigious parts of town. We sat there, and he said, I've been watching your station. I like your programming. I have a network that has 17 stations, and I want to sell you this network. Would you be interested? I would never say no to that. I'm incapable of saying no to an opportunity after I've learned so much that God, what God can do. So I said, yes, I'm interested. He said, I'll send you all the information. He did. Initially, he was asking $24 million. I sat on it for a while. I wasn't totally at ease with that. But I said, Lord, I'll pray about it. And several months went by. I was getting ready to go to Colombia for a week of prayer, and I received a phone call. David, are you interested in this network? Because we have another offer now from a televangelist, one of those evangelists that heals people, knocks them down, and shouts and so on. And he's offering $16 million for 80% of the station. But I know you want all of it. I know you want 100%. You have first bids on it. Do you want it or not? I said, yes, I do. Then send your man. Well, I went on to Colombia. While I was in Colombia, I received daily phone calls from the man I sent over there to the pastor from Venezuela, the Brazilian pastor, went back and started negotiating, and I received daily phone calls from him. David, this is what they want, this is what they want. And it was an impasse. We weren't reaching anywhere. After 2 days of negotiations, they had not given us anything of what we wanted. They were still insisting on the full amount. They wanted immediate payment of large amounts. And they wanted us to make a payment and wait for 6 months so they could get the other station off the air they were leasing it to. And God's money tied up that way, I just didn't feel at ease. So finally, he recommended, let's not buy it. These people are not willing to negotiate. Why don't we look elsewhere? Maybe we can do it cheaper. Maybe over a period of 5 to 10 years. I said, I'm sorry. We don't have 5 or 10 years. Time is now. And God has developed this network for us to use, for God's people to reach everybody in the world. Entire mature networks are falling into the hands of God's people if we will only accept them. So I said, let's pray. So we prayed. And after we were done praying, I said, Lord, during the prayer, Lord, if you want us to have this network, you have to make it evident. Have them give us what we ask for as a sign that this is what you want us to do. So after I was done praying, I told them, you go back to the negotiating table. If they, after 2 days of negotiations, at this last point, maybe give us what we ask for, then we know God is in it. He called me 2 hours later and he said, Pastor, raise your hands to heaven. Everything we asked for, plus more, was given to us. They gave it to us. They offered more even. So I asked him what the details. They came from 24 to 21 million, then to 19 million, and finally to $18.5 million. They also gave us 2 additional stations on the outskirts of Sao Paulo to cover areas that are on the suburbs, but that were not reached by the central signal. They also offered 30 station licenses for 30 new cities. So that would mean it would be 17 stations on the air, a satellite uplink, a full studio with trucks and everything, plus 2 new stations, plus 30 station licenses, over 45 cities to reach with God's special message of His soon coming. Currently, the network is airing and in the homes of nearly 30 million people. 30 million. How much is heaven willing to pay for that? How much would heaven be willing to risk to reach 30 million people? Well, we know that Jesus would have given his life for even one soul. For 30 million, you can bet your bottom dollar, like we would say in English, that God will come through. We signed the documents. I flew to Sao Paulo. I met with a man. We've arranged a payment schedule. He's agreed to let us pay a $1 million down payment. And after just a couple of months of doing the legal paperwork with the government, they will turn over the signal to us. This last year in Belo Horizonte, with our television station there, has given us a lot of experience. We have a team of 10 persons who are working full-time in a production studio. Even though the South American division has a very wonderful signal and they've allowed us to use it as a public open signal that anybody can use to rebroadcast, we have been using that signal to fill in 24/7, while at the same time developing our own programming that will identify us as a unique television network of our own. God is providing the programming. We will be sharing. There will be products coming from Bolivia. We are doing recording in Bolivia of Brazilian programs. We're doing soundtracks and subtitles in Portuguese. And of course, Brazil, with its mighty mechanism of production, it's all its talent, young people, music, professionals of every kind, they will also be assisting in the production. The purchase of this network will allow us not only Sao Paulo with its 22 million people, but also 17 other cities which also have television stations. And the 30 new licenses that we're getting will give us 30 new cities. The secret about reaching Brazil is satellite. Brazilian satellite. Brazilians love to watch television on satellite. In fact, there's very little cable. 80% of Brazilians have satellite dishes. Every little cardboard box out in the desert, wherever you are, they each have a little cheap satellite dish out front. So if you want to reach Brazil, it has to be on Brazilian satellite. Sadly enough, the denomination is on a foreign satellite, not on a Brazilian satellite. And most of their broadcasts are carried to the churches to do evangelism. So the public doesn't have access to this beautiful Adventist broadcasting. So between the division signal and our signal, sharing with each other, we'll be able to reach 80% of Brazil. Open television stations are an absolute necessity if you want to reach the very, very poor and the masses. Not everybody can afford a satellite dish. Not everybody can afford a cable connection. So therefore, an open television network, in this case, over 45 cities with open television stations, broadcasting to everybody. That is God's plan, I believe, to reaching everybody in the world. When trying to understand how God will work in His last days, there is a statement that has been a lot of encouragement to me. Let me tell you that the Lord will work in this last work in a manner very much out of the common order of things, and in a way that will be contrary to any human planning. There will be those among us who will always want to control the work of God, to dictate even what movements shall be made when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel who joins the third angel in the message to be given to the world. God will use ways and means by which it will be seen that He is taking the reins into His own hands. Do not imagine that it will be possible to lay out plans for the future. Let God be acknowledged as standing at the helm at all times and under every circumstance. He will work by means that will be suitable and will maintain, increase, and build up His own people. Sometimes when things get hard, when resources are scarce, one has to go to God's Word or the Spirit of Prophecy to become encouraged. I do this quite often. Here's another verse that really encourages me. When we give ourselves wholly to God and in our work follow His directions, He makes Himself responsible for its accomplishment. He would not have us conjecture as to the success of our honest endeavors. Not once should we even think of failure. We are to cooperate with one who knows no failure. He is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon Him, talking about us, that they may glorify His name. They may expect large things if they have faith in His promises. God gives opportunities. Success depends upon the use made of them. Sometimes tasks seem impossible. The challenge is far too big to be accomplished. But in those moments, I go back to the written word. Though apparent impossibilities obstruct their way, by His grace they are to go forward. Instead of deploring difficulties, they are called upon to surmount them. They are to despair nothing and to hope for everything. Isaiah 55 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Being a worker for God can sometimes be very lonely. Sometimes your friends and family don't even understand. But God does, and He encourages. Listen to this. The servants of the Lord must expect every kind of discouragement. They will be tried, not only by the anger, contempt, and cruelty of enemies, but by the indolence, inconsistency, lukewarmness, and treachery of friends and helpers. Even some who seem to desire the work of God to prosper will yet weaken the hands of His servants by hearing, reporting, and half-believing the slanders, boasts, and menaces of their adversaries. God appreciates the labors of His children, men and women, who are dedicated solely to working for Him. In fact, He says the following, "His special blessing accompanies the labors of men of action, men who will not be swerved from the straight line of duty, but who with divine energy will inquire, who is on the Lord's side? Men who will not stop merely with inquiry, but who will demand that those who choose to identify themselves with the people of God shall step forward and reveal unmistakably their allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." I am so grateful that God is using the Advenir Spanish Television Network to reach so many peoples in such a wide variety of belief systems and cultures. One thing that has surprised me is the response of many evangelical pastors, entire congregations in Venezuela, Bolivia, and Colombia. Pastors have come in with their members into the church. They have accepted the Sabbath. They have become members of the church. And in some cases, the entire building has been placed in the hands of the church as a new church building that they can worship in. We are one of the favorite stations of the Catholic nuns in the city of Santa Cruz, Bolivia. They have invited our director of programming to go eat at their house just to say thank you for the beautiful programming. In one city in Colombia, the Catholic priest only allows one Protestant network to come into that city on cable, and that is our Spanish television network. Truly, we feel grateful that God has allowed such a wide loyalty, such a wide reach. It is a variety of programming that appeals to their hearts. My heart is thrilled when I hear stories of what God is doing through our Advenir Spanish television network in different parts of the world. In Colombia alone, there are some beautiful stories that have come out. The union president has recently told me of several of them. One of them was a man who was going to commit suicide, and he'd already put the bullets in his gun and he was going to go kill all of his family members first. But something told him the neighbors might hear the shots, so he decided to turn the TV to full blast so that the neighbors could not hear the shots. And when he did, God turned it on to our television network. And what came on was some beautiful music videos, nature videos with God's sacred music. He sat there just enjoying it for a few minutes. And then a message came on. Then a choir came on. Then a young people's program. He sat there for several hours. And during that time, the Holy Spirit took possession of his mind. He reconsidered. He pulled the bullets out of his gun. And he went and told his family what he was about to do. They then went to a pastor, got Bible studies, and all of them currently belong to the church. What a beautiful story of life saved from a tragedy that would have made the front lines of the newspaper, the front page, to the beautiful lines for eternity. Another story is about a parrot. I love this. A parrot loved our music. And every time they would change the channel, the family members, the children, the fathers, the parrot would put up such a fuss. You can imagine how much noise a parrot can make. And every time they changed to a different channel, the parrot would just deliver such a loud noise that they had to put it back again just to have peace in the home. Finally, after 2 weeks of just watching one television channel, the entire family today is also in the church. They went to see a pastor, they took Bible studies, and they were baptized. But it's not just affecting single individuals, it is affecting cities as well. Just a few weeks ago, I was told by one of the church administrators that there's a city in Colombia, 60% of all the businesses in the city close their doors on Sabbath. Why? There's only one television network, one television station in town. And they learned that Sabbath, the seventh day, is holy. They don't need to work. So they all got together and said, let's just close that day, all our stores, let's close them all, and then we can all rest together. Amazing. Entire cities, majorities are coming across. In Peru, we have a station in Cusco, which is the entrance to the Inca ruins of Machu Picchu. We have a very powerful station there that reaches the city. And I have heard there's 56 churches, local national churches, in that city. And yet it is changing the way that people think. People stop the director on the street and say, thank you. After all these hundreds of years, the whole entire city is changing the way it views God, the way it views what God is doing and who He is and how we're to be saved. Beautiful stories like these convince me that God is doing something beautiful. It is all about God. It's not about us. But God invites us to be partners with Him. He invites us to have a big vision of knowing what He's doing. What concerns me is that God's chosen people may be missing out. Many of them will lose their crown because they are not doing what God wants them to do. God invites us today to be part of this beautiful work. And if we don't do it as a people, He will take somebody else to do it. God has children. He has sheep that are not of this fold, and they're also working, and He's teaching them, and they are preaching the truth in many areas. I hope that we don't fall into the trap of leaning on others or the fact that we belong to this wonderful Adventist movement just for our salvation. We have a job to do, and I'm glad that the Spanish and now the Portuguese television network, the Advenir Portuguese television network, will be preaching into all the Portuguese-speaking world. Like never before, God is placing opportunities to reach the world before His people. In fact, He has placed an open door before His people, and all those that want to move can move now. Revelation 3 clearly reveals some of the thoughts that God has regarding this. I know what you're trying to do for me. I have opened a door of opportunity for you which no man can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have held to the teachings of the Scripture and have not denied my name. I want to say to those of you that are living at this time, do not become discouraged, because I will come quickly to save you. Hold on to what you have and don't let anyone rob you of your faith and cause you to lose your crown of life. Now is the time. At this moment, God's people must go into all the world. This is the moment in history when God's people, His true children, will act by faith. They will lay hands on the Omnipotent. They will depend on His infinite resources, and they will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Those who refuse to do that, those who will not risk their own self, their time, their resources to carry out the mission, are being presumptuous, and therefore will not hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I do not want to lose my crown, and therefore I encourage everyone I talk to develop that relationship of dependence. Launch out. Trust God. Have His joy and peace. Risk everything. Life itself. And you will find that you will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Many of you have kept up with the developments in this ministry over the years. You have seen how God has provided schools, properties, airplanes, and finally, a television network in Bolivia. You held your breath as the date came up to the final payment, $1.5 million, and 24 hours before, God paid that debt. That's incredible. And it has implications to your life. There are three ways you can react. You can stand by and say, "That's interesting. I'm entertained by this kind of adventure and risk-taking to see what God can do." There's a second way. You can get angry. "The implications are too severe for my life. I do not want to trust God with that. I want to take care of myself. I want to provide for my needs. I do not want to live by faith and risk everything." That's a sad reaction. And there'll be a sad surprise at the end. But there's also a third reaction. And I hope it's the one you have. It's the reaction that if God can do that for David, He can also do it for me. It's not about David. It's about God. God doesn't have favorites. He will do that for anybody. As many of our volunteers can attest, He has done it for them too. God wants to develop an experience in your life. He wants to develop a relationship that will continue to grow in faith until it becomes extreme faith. The kind of faith that Jesus had on the cross when He trusted His Father no matter what. That kind of faith God can give you, but it requires an experience. It requires learning vicariously. You can learn from this experience. God did it in Bolivia, and He will do it again in Brazil. Please keep your eyes on this Brazil television network project. The Bolivia project was 10 times bigger than anything we've done in the past, and this is over 10 times bigger of anything we did in Bolivia. It doesn't end there. It's only the beginning. God is opening networks through this ministry in China, for the Arabic-speaking people, in French, English, German, and Romanian. Three of them will be on the air this year, and the others soon after. It is a global movement to finish the work. God is doing something, something immense, and He'll work through anybody. He'll work through you. He'll work through church members, and even those not of this fold. Anybody who's willing to place everything on the altar and move forward trusting Him. Because very soon, all human support will be cut off. And I mean very soon. And when that happens, only those that have developed that very intimate, trusting relationship will survive it. Will you? Are you learning today? I want to invite you to get on your knees and say, "Lord, take me. Take everything I have and everything I am. I belong to You, but I have to learn. There are many lessons I have not learned yet. I've depended too long on myself, and I want to learn to depend on You." I hope this video today has impressed you with God's desire and longing to teach you, to take you, to train you, and very soon to take you home to your home that He has reserved for you in glory. I want to be your neighbor, and I want to be there too. May God bless you. May we be there together for eternity. Bye-bye.
For further information or to give a donation, please contact Gospel Ministries International, P.O. Box 662, Hermitage, Tennessee, 37076, or call 615-855-5777. You can also email david@gospelministry.org. For online information, please visit www.gospelministry.org. That's gospelministry.org. To listen, watch, or download media with David Gates, please visit www.hopevideo.com. That's www.hopevideo.com. Please feel free to copy and share these important and timely messages with those you know and those you meet.